from South Dakota Public Broadcasting. This is your SDPB News Podcast. I'm Jackson Dirks in Sioux Falls. Today, a federal court grants a two-week drilling restraining order on a mining operation in western South Dakota. A regulatory roundtable gets at a deeper federal shift in regulation, and even more. It's Tuesday, May 5th. Here are today's stories. The events surrounding Page Law are still unfolding as a federal court grants a two-week drilling restraining order. That ruling came late last night. SDPB CJ Keene reports.
A few critical pieces of information involving Page Law and the direct action taking place involving mining are critical to understanding what's happening in the courtrooms and in the Black Hills. First, a question orbits a Memorandum of Understanding, or MOU, signed between the tribes and U.S. Forest Service, which creates a 2-mile buffer zone that orbits tribally owned land at Page Law, a sacred site. All of the installed drilling pads are located within that buffer area. Second, there is typically a consultation process that involves tribal historic preservation officers, which allows direct observation that mining opponents say did not take place prior to the installation of the drilling pads. Finally, under Article 6 of the U.S. Constitution, the laws of the nation and all treaties made are the supreme law of the land. Past treaties signed by the U.S. government and Native peoples grant the Black Hills to those peoples. Importantly, for this moment especially, tribes have never conceded mineral rights to that land. Peatlein and Sons, the company behind the mining effort, has not returned request for comment. SDPB was granted access to the site at Page Law, deep in the Black Hills, far from cell reception and most modern comforts. It's a rolling prairie land meadow surrounded by mountains. The lack of trees make it a unique bald spot in a dense forest of ponderosa pine. Wheezy Pogariot, president of the Rapid City-based indigenous nonprofit organization Indian Collective, was on scene.
I'm not here to speak on behalf of the tribe, but what I can say is that those consultation processes that are a part of the U.S. Forest Service and its policies and practices and procedures was not followed.
Importantly, the action taking place is a wide-ranging effort involving many organizations, including Indian Collective, the Black Hills Clean Water Alliance, the Oglala Lakota Nation Youth Council, and the 9 tribes that filed suit seeking to stop mining at the site. Garriott encourages people to search for images of graphite mines and imagine that in the Black Hills. He says above all else, this is a land defense effort.
We're defending our rights. We're defending our constitutional rights. We're defending our treaty rights. We're defending clean water. We're doing it unarmed. We're doing it in a peaceful way. We also have principles about how we're supposed to be when we are here.
While spring has sprung in the Black Hills, overnight lows are still dropping to near or below freezing in Rapid City and are lower at higher elevations. Considering the severity of the regional drought, one of those rules is that no campfires are allowed on site. Despite this hardship, Valeria Big Eagle says considering the big picture implications of today's actions, morale remains high among those on the scene.
This is about all of us. We all need clean drinking water to survive. And we know how complex the hydrogeology is of the aquifers.
Big Eagle adds there is an additional pressure campaign continuing beyond on-site action.
We continue to encourage all the supporters of this to call the U.S. Forest Service. They have the full authority to rescind this permit. We want people to understand that it's not just for us. This is for all of us. And we need a future. We want a future. That we have to come to.
The Oglala Sioux tribe is among the 9 listed in the lawsuits involving Page Law. Garfield Steele is an OST council member from the Wounded Knee District.
They live for the now. They don't think about the future generations the way we do. If you care about our grandchildren, if you care about your great-grandchildren, this is the stance we have to take.
The Oglala Lakota Nation Youth Council is a collection of young Lakota adults active in their community. One member taking part in the action at Page Law identified himself as Surrounded Bear. He says in an era as challenging as today, it's time to meaningfully interface with the world.
Instead of talk about it, take action. Go to public hearings, attend meetings, talk to your local elected officials. Do as much as you could, because what we do now, it will impact future generations. So we encourage everyone to take action where you are. Do your research, know your local indigenous people, and stand behind him.
As a drum circle plays behind him, Surrounded Bear says that while the world turns in new ways every day, the weight of being involved in change and fighting for his community is not lost on him.
Today, the battlefield is a lot different, but our ways are the same. It's an honor. It's one of the greatest honors and privileges we could do for our people in our land.
Court hearings will continue relating to this matter, and SDPB will continue to follow this story as developments are made available. I'm SDPB's CJ Keene at Peshawla in the Black Hills.
A South Dakota roundtable signals a federal shift in regulation for agriculture as federal agencies sought examples of how regulation is hindering business. At a farming roundtable near Humboldt, South Dakota, the major topic is clear: deregulation. According to a member with the Small Business Administration, that's one of President Donald Trump's so-called three major priorities: tax reform, onshoring manufacturing to the U.S., and deregulation. Farmers gathered for a roundtable hosted in collaboration between the Small Business Administration, U.S. Department of Agriculture, and the Governor's Office of Economic Development. The goal is to gather input from small agriculture business owners in South Dakota about the regulatory environment and pass it on to Washington, D.C. Trent Staggs is the SBA Office of Advocacy Regional Advocate. He says it's a directive from the top. Media was asked not to sit in on the roundtable so business owners would speak freely. However, Staggs shared with SDPB some of the issues farmers and business owners brought up.
Access to affordable health care, regulations surrounding the EPA, for example, with the waters of the U.S. and with other regulations that impact diesel emissions. I think there was a whole host of things that we talked about today that we can take back and work on.
Another issue mentioned concerned federal transportation rules. Federal law limits commercial vehicles driving on the interstate to a max gross vehicle weight of 80,000 pounds. A recommendation was made to move it up to 90 to 91,000 pounds, saying it could be done safely, cost-effectively, and reduce truck traffic on the interstate. Farmers noted it was nice to be heard on their home turf. That includes Jerry Schmitz. He's the executive director for the State Soybean Association and the State Soybean Checkoff. He hopes the feds take a hard look at the cost benefits of regulation on ag.
Regulations serve a purpose in many cases, and we want to ensure that there is safety, but there needs to be a risk benefit. And if the risk costs more or could be more harmful than what the intent of the regulation was, then we need to make some changes, and I think there are a lot of those.
The conversations did not guarantee any regulation changes. I'm SDPB's Jackson Dirks. A federal appeals court is upholding the death sentence of the only inmate on South Dakota's death row. The U.S. Court of Appeals for the Eighth Circuit rejected Briley Piper's petition for relief. He was sentenced to the death penalty for the killing of Chester Allen Pogue in Lawrence County back in 2000. Piper's case has been locked in appeal efforts in the decades since. Attorney General Marty Jackley says Piper has never accepted responsibility for his actions. Jackley says the court's decision marks a, quote, important step toward final justice for Chester Pogue and his family. South Dakota is receiving $10 million as part of a settlement with a major pharmaceutical company for its role in fueling the opioid crisis. That's the state's share of the $7.4 billion settlement reached with Purdue Pharma and its owners, the Sackler family. Attorney General Marty Jackley says the state is expected to receive the money over the next 15 years. It goes to the state opioid settlement fund administered by the South Dakota Department of Social Services. This fund is used for addiction treatment, prevention, and recovery. The average price for a gallon of gas in South Dakota rises above $4 per gallon. That's according to the latest report from Gas Buddy. It shows the state's average is $4.04 a gallon. That's up 33 cents from last week and is more than a dollar higher than this time last year. The national average is around $4.42 per gallon. Analysts say refinery outages contributed to this latest surge. OPEC says it plans to increase production in June, though analysts say with so many moving pieces, they expect volatility to continue in the near term. Travel South Dakota is reinstating a grant program designed to boost tourism-related businesses in rural communities. It's called the Tourism Advertising Promotion, or TAP, Grant Fund. Governor Larry Roden announced the reinstatement to kick off National Travel and Tourism Week. TAP grants were first created in 2023 by the Noem administration, but were paused last year. Now, Roden says the state is awarding $200,000 to 40 projects across the state. You can find more details about the program at sdpb.org/news. And that's your daily news update. Make sure to follow us on Facebook, X, and YouTube at SDPB News, and visit sdpb.org/news to stay up to date on our journalism as it comes in. As always, thanks for listening.